Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. If you hear the phrase, solve for X, and break into hives, this next segment is just for you. Jean Creighton joins us every month to talk about astronomy, but nearly everything she does is based on mathematics.
And that's where we begin our conversation. Jean, it's great to see you, as always.
Hi, Bonnie.
I wanted to start with something that maybe I'm almost a little afraid to bring it up because I think some of our listeners might run away and hide. But we promise it won't be too hard. It's something that I would run away and hide from, too, because I don't know how to do it very well. And that is the kind of mathematical calculations you need to really understand all these things that we talk about, whether we're talking about speed of light or we're talking about how long light from a star somewhere takes to get here so that we can actually see it. I have no idea how to do that. And is there a simple way to kind of think about that when you're not a mathematician?
It seems to me that lots of people have the curiosity, but as you say, they don't necessarily have the tools to make sense of some of these large numbers. I'm very interested in that kind of question of how to make big numbers or big distances, if you will, large quantities of things understandable. So I think one way of doing it is proportioning it down to numbers that you do grasp, that you really have daily experience with. I remember that when my kids were in kindergarten, they had the 100th day, and their job was to bring 100 of things, of snacks, so that they could really count out 100. Many people, you know, have walked 1,000 yards, whatever. They have, you know.
We've all experienced a day, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the trick is to find suitable metaphors, if you will, to take that big number and squeeze it proportionally to something we can get our hands around.
Okay.
So can I give you an example?
Please.
Okay. So this is a real story. I'm walking down the street with my son, and he's interested. He's, in fact, had a lifelong interest in insects. And he was looking on the pavement and saw some kind of ant. And he said to me, how long do you think these insects live? And he proposed it could be even a week. I mean, some insects obviously live longer, but he thought that a week was a reasonable estimate. And then he carried on this thought about how soon would they have to start reproducing and how long would an ant be pregnant?
Assuming ants could be pregnant.
Of course, yes. Of course. I decided that I wasn't going to be a stickler in the details of the facts here. We were just going to talk about the principle of the matter.
Right.
And I was happy to have this opportunity that he generated to talk about, you know, how would you calculate such a thing? How would you make an estimate that's educated as opposed to wild? And I said, well, let's think about that. Well, how long do you think an ant could be pregnant? And he said, well, what about a day? And I said, if the ant had lived for 7 days, for it to be pregnant for a whole day of the seven, that would be the equivalent of, let's say we have a woman who lives 70 years, and I know that's on the short side, but I wanted to make the math easy, then a seventh of that would be 10 years. So some woman, a human, would need to be pregnant for 10 whole years.
Which is a long time.
And in that, he knew immediately, okay, that's ridiculous. So we needed to change, I said, the order of magnitude. I said, we'll need to reduce this by quite a bit. So then he said, well, what about an hour? And I thought, I'm not sure. Let's put some pen to paper and figure out if that makes sense.
So how did you help him understand this? How did you bring it down to numbers that make more sense?
Okay. So here's what I told him. I said that 1 year has about 50 weeks. We know that's not exactly true, but I just wanted to make the numbers nice and round. And I said, let's just pretend for a moment that that's about as long as a woman is pregnant. We know, of course, that women aren't pregnant for that long. But again, I wanted to make my numbers nice and easy. So I said that a woman spends 1/70th of her life being pregnant, assuming that she only has one pregnancy, but that's good enough for an aunt. That tells us that if the aunt lives for 7 days, then the pregnancy will be 7 days divided by 70, because I wanted 1/70th of the life of an aunt. Are you still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 7 by 70 days is 1/10th of a day. And each day has 24 hours. So I'm taking the 24 hours and dividing it by 10, which is a little over 2 hours. So it's 2.4 hours. And since I made a human pregnancy longer than it really is, I'm saying let's round this down to about 2 hours. So if aunt's pregnancy, pretend pregnancies, were proportional to human pregnancies, they would be pregnant for 2 hours if their lifespan was 7 days.
Now, I got that, and that was fine because you were explaining it to me. What do you do when I don't have you here to explain it? Or you know, you don't have someone in your life who can break it down that way so that you can say, well, really, oh, I get it. It, you know, it's really kind of like this.
If we just take an approach to math of a foreign language that, you know, math can resemble in some ways another language, but we can master to some extent, at least enough to communicate what we need to other people. And with a little more practice, we can be fluent in this language. Math has the beauty of being very economical in terms of how much you need to write to get your calculation and that grasp on reality. So I think it's worth practicing.
It's also, I think, worth realizing that you can make a mistake and it's okay. You can recalculate.
And you can also simplify the numbers. I mean, sometimes people get bogged down by, oh, the 56.34, and they get all hung up on, you know,
what do I do with the decimal points.
Forget about that. Make the numbers as clean and as simple as you can. And then as you get more sophisticated, you can perhaps add more significant figures. But I say at first, give it a crack with just, you know, as simple numbers as you can.
So taking it out of the world of entomology and ants and taking it back into the world of astronomy, what is some simple calculation that we could do to figure out something that's happening astronomically? Is there a good example that you can give us?
Sure. One of the examples that that comes to my mind is when people ask me, so I look up, I see stars. They know that those stars are far enough that light takes amount of time to get to us. Could it be that some of those stars are gone? They're not there anymore. And to answer this question, it's again useful to do a basic calculation. With the naked eye, the farthest star you can see is probably on the order of 1,000 light years away at most. In most cases, they'll be quite a bit closer than that. But let's just say that light left that star 1,000 years ago. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're looking at a star as it was 1,000 years ago. And of course, for a person, that is a very long time. But what percentage of the life of a person does that represent for a star?
I would say not very much.
Right, because stars live for a very long time. So stars, depending on their mass, can live anywhere from, say, a few million years to many billion years. If we go for something like the sun, that it's going to survive for about 10 billion years. Okay, so that 10 billion is 10 to the 10. So one with 10 zeros following. So 1,000 years of 10 to the 10 is 10 to the 10 divided by 10 to the 3, which is 10 to the 7. So that is 1 over 10 million of the life of a person.
Which is not very much.
It isn't. But let's figure out exactly what is that. Let's say, again, I'm going to make my numbers easy now. Mm-hmm. A person lives for, let's say, 100 years. If we divide 100 by 10 million, we get 10 to the minus 5. So that is a 100,000th of a year.
Okay.
Now, I happen to know.
Because you're a mathematician.
At heart.
Yes.
Among other things.
Yes.
That approximately 10 to the 7 seconds in a year. So that means that this would be 100,000th of a person's lifespan is about 100 seconds.
All right. So just shy of 2 minutes.
That's right. So it would be like staring at a group of people for 2 minutes and seeing
one of them leave.
One of them leave forever.
Right. So not likely to happen that often.
Not likely. No, you would have to watch for a very long time. And it's true that we have been watching stars long enough that we have seen this happen, but over many thousands of years. We have seen supernova go off. We have seen stars expire. But this doesn't happen often enough just by looking up in the sky.
Right. Because we're not here long enough.
That's right.
It comes down to our lifespan is so short compared to the lifespan of stars in the universe.
Yes. And the only reason why we've seen this is because we have records. I mean, the Chinese kept fairly detailed records. We have, of course, Western records for some many hundreds of years now. So we have seen this happen, but over many people's lives, not just one.
Right. One of us seeing that even once is probably a very rare occurrence.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm renewed in my in my efforts now to master some more basic calculations so I can figure some of this stuff
out. So find your aunt.
Wherever
you are, whatever little calculation is of interest to you, and take a shot at it. If you get really stuck, maybe people can email us and let us know, and we'll help them out.
Sure. You can help them out. They don't want math help from me.
I'd be delighted to.
Well, before we go, there is something that's happening in the night sky. It's a lunar eclipse, right?
It's a lunar eclipse on the 27th of October in the evening. Sadly, it's a school night. It should peak at around 9:30 in the evening local time.
Is it a total or partial?
It's a partial lunar eclipse, but it's a pretty good one. It should be pretty good. And although, of course, it's terrible for other people to have fires, that probably means that it will be even redder than normal.
Okay, so something to look forward to.
Definitely.
That I don't have to calculate.
You do not. I should say that the kinds of calculations that we just did on the fly would be insufficient to exactly calculate when a lunar eclipse will happen. But that's another level of math.
Jean, as always, I learned something, and it's always such a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Lake Effect contributor Jean Creighton joins us each month to talk about all things astronomical. In her spare time, she's also the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium on the UWM campus.